This month, we've been looking at working and living in Aspen. Is it, as some believe, so expensive that the next generation of Aspenites will be forced down valley by high rents, difficult housing, and low wages? The income gap is significant in Aspen, and so are the prices. The question we're asking today is, what, if anything, can government do about it? We spoke with past and present elected officials.
You know, you hear from a lot of old-timers, hey, you should have been here in the 70s.
Adam Frisch is a current member of the Aspen City Council.
In the 70s and 80s and early 80s, the really, really wealthy people in the country were 5 or 10 times wealthier than a lot of other people. Now they're 80, 90, 100, 1,000 times wealthier. And we've always attracted the top 0.1% of the country or the world. It's just that 30 years later from the 1980s or 70s, the 0.1% is extremely, extremely wealthy, not just kind of wealthy.
And this income inequality has skewed the local economy toward a higher-end consumer and has made it harder for some residents of modest income to afford living in Aspen. It's also been identified by young people, local business owners, and commuting workers as a barrier to making Aspen their home.
30 years ago, even adjusted for inflation, it probably was much less money to come here and ski bum your way through however long you wanted to do it. From a government standpoint, without a doubt, it is a concern of everyone's. You know, if you don't have the next generation of ski bums in 20 years, who's going to come to Aspen?
When you ask what can be done to ensure a thriving local population, one of the first responses is often to point to Aspen and Pitkin County's affordable housing program. It began in the mid-1970s with the observation, not at all unlike current concerns, that Aspen was getting too expensive for the locals.
It was really clear that there was a rapid change in the affordability of housing.
Michael Kinsley was one of the architects of the affordable housing program. He served on the Pitkin County Commission from 1975 to 1985.
It was affordable when I got here, and that was 1970. But by 76, it was already getting what at the time seemed outrageous. It was clear enough that there was a rapid change taking place that something needed to be done.
What was created was a housing authority that built housing that was, in essence, removed from the free market of real estate. There were projects sheltered from the supply and demand pressures that caused home prices and rents to spike out of reach of the waiters, teachers, and ski bums.
The idea was to attempt to sustain the community. And for many of us, our definition of that was that people lived near where they worked. And that walkability is central to the most of the current thinking about what constitutes a viable urban community.
In that sense, the local government of 40 years ago was visionary. It sought to create a community where people lived and worked within walking distance. During this time, Kinsley and his fellow county commissioners and the city government explored other interventions to make Aspen a sustainable place to live. Public transportation began, and growth was managed. Residents and visitors today take much of this for granted, but in the 1970s, it was bold.
It was. There was a lot of opposition to what we were doing. There was a lot of opposition to just about everything that we were doing at the time. I mean, it was a progressive government in a more traditional context. There wasn't anything like unanimity about these progressive ideas of growth control and affordable housing and public transportation. Those were pretty radical points of view, and there was very aggressive opposition to that.
What Kinsley says was missed back then was how fast and how high real estate prices would go. They couldn't have foreseen what former Aspen Mayor Mick Ireland says was a sea change in the U.S. tax codes in 1986, a year after Michael Kinsley had left the county commission. The changes provided tax advantages for owning real estate. And Ireland says, almost overnight, the character of Aspen's neighborhoods changed.
Immediately, within 90 days, there were 38 sales of more than $1 million, which was unheard of. 36 of them were cash. And this is an important phenomenon because what happened was, first, most notably in the West End, but then spreading, was that property that used to be owned with a mortgage and rented to people like yourself for you know, a few hundred a month and cut up into bedrooms, was closed off and became speculation or second home residential trophy housing.
At the time, Ireland was part of a committee that was working on a master plan for the Upper Valley. Work on the Aspen Area Community Plan began as the real estate boom was taking off. Affordable housing remained a key component of long-range planning, but it would be of little help in the widening income gap.
Nobody even then anticipated that income inequality would be so much more severe than it was even then.
Aspen was hot and becoming exclusive. The retail sector of town began to change too, attracting high-end international companies. Today, many would-be young entrepreneurs and longtime locals find it hard to compete with these brands. Michael Kinsley, now a researcher at the Rocky Mountain Institute specializing in sustainable communities, says that looking at the Aspen retail sector, he believes governance, as opposed to government, can offer a solution similar to affordable housing. Current Councilman Adam Frisch agrees. While some retailers are paying as much as $200 a square foot in rent, says Frisch.
If you go half a block off, and I don't know what they're paying, maybe $30 or $40 a foot. And so it's not like the whole town is $200 a foot. And so one of the things that the city hall has been looking at is there a way between zoning, what can go in there, and what's allowed to be built that would be more inducive for a local to give it a shot?
Michael Kinsley envisions public-private retail districts where rents reflect what it actually costs to maintain the infrastructure. By design, it would be affordable. Likewise, Councilman Frisch sees the city creating an affordable business sector. At the same time, though, he says government should not be in the business of picking and choosing winners and losers in the retail space.
Should we start subsidizing a bunch of locals who are competing against other businesses? We probably shouldn't get into that. But should we make sure that there is a playing field that allows locals to open up businesses? And I think you need to look at the entire core and the entire downtown by North Mill and Clark's, as opposed to just walking down Galena Street and wondering where Old Aspen went.
Adam Frisch, Michael Kinsley, and former Mayor Mick Ireland all agree there are certain inevitable changes beyond the control of local government. Still, Ireland says what Aspen has accomplished is notable.
The housing program has succeeded in retaining a local population that is the envy of almost every resort I've ever talked to. You can carp all you want about whether we have too many Category 4 or dogs should be allowed at Burlingame. But the point of fact is when you go and you make a presentation on Aspen government or affordable housing program to any other resort, the one question that they have for you is, how can we do what you did?
Former Pitkin County Commissioner Michael Kinsley is philosophical when looking back on the moves of 40 years ago and whether or not they achieved their goals.
Yes and no. Certainly, it turned out a heck of a lot better than it would have.
I'm Roger Adams, Aspen Public Radio News.